Praise the Lord. All righty. So, brother, come on up. Thank you so much for being here this morning.
Great. Mm-hmm.
You can use this one if you want.
Oh, is that one special?
Is it? Well, this is anointed. But I got some mints there in case you need them, too.
Is that a hint? I had dinner at your place. I shouldn't need mints. You're welcome. But just before I start, has anyone here had a whiplash problem with the back of their neck or shoulders or any lingering effects from a car accident? Yeah, I just this morning I woke up and just had these visions, and I just thought that the Lord wants some prayer over you and just wants to touch and heal. So look, we're just going to all put our hands over here towards him. We're just going to pray. Lord, we just come to you in obedience, Father. And Lord, you showed me this morning this like whiplash, this accident, Lord. But then you showed me your healing hands, just touching and rubbing and massaging and healing. And Lord, we just take that healing this morning. We receive that for our sister here, Lord, because you love each of us and you love her. And Lord, I just receive this healing for her now, in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. He says you're going to feel better. Thank you, Lord. Is anyone else getting your words of knowledge this morning? Look, I just encourage it. It's not something I've been involved in too much, but the Lord wants to show us things that he wants to heal. He wants to show us things he wants to fix. And he's just, you know, he'll give you a vision. Or the other thing that happens sometimes is you'll get a pain that you just have never experienced, almost unusual pain in some place, a knee or whatever. Sometimes that's a word of knowledge for someone else that's got that. And he wants you to acknowledge that and speak it out, and in that faith, he'll heal. So this morning, I was talking to Scott a few weeks ago, and he said, look, you know, there's been a few people in the church that had a bit of an attack. There's been a few issues going on. And I just felt like I need to share some of how to handle that, because we got a Lord that loves us. We got a Lord that's given us victory. But he prepares us and wants us to understand how to walk in those environments, in this environment, when things are maybe coming against you. And I want to share a little bit around that this morning. Anyone here under any attack? I think most of us will have our hands up if we're honest. We don't even realize it sometimes, because it's just become part of our life. We just think that's how our life should be. So I asked, and I was talking to Ian beforehand, and he used the term open mind, and Scott used the term open mind when he was talking. I just asked for an open mind this morning as I shared just something that's put on my heart to share with you guys. I come back to a verse I've used here before, which is John 17:4, and he says, and this is when Jesus is getting to the end of his life, and he says, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work you've given me to do. So this is Jesus saying he's finished the work he's given us to do. Now, do any of you think that Jesus was under attack as he was finishing that work? You read the Bible, it's pretty clear that the enemy was against him through this time, because he was about the Father's work. There's two ways I look at this. You can be in a position where you're taking ground, you're taking territory. You can be in a position where you're just being out there for the Lord, and you're actually taking ground. Or you can be in a position where you're sitting there and you're just waiting on the Lord. And in any of those positions, no matter what position you are, the enemy's still there, and the enemy still wants to stop you, no matter what position you are. So I'm speaking to everybody here this morning, no matter what position you're in. And I just want to make that clear. The enemy wants to steal, and he wants to lie, he wants to whisper, he wants to take away what the Lord has given us and what you walk in. I mean, you're all saved. You'll walk in his glory, and he wants you to walk knowing what that means. But it talks about Leviathan and Job. And Leviathan, it talks about there, keeps on going and going and going and going. And he doesn't care, the enemy doesn't care what state you're in. You can be in the worst position, he doesn't care. Because he's about trying to get you off the task the Lord has put you here. Get you off walking in the position you're allowed to walk. He wants to steal the promises and he wants to take what is yours. And the, God has given us in his word, and I'm going to share quite a bit of word this morning, but he's given us the way to handle this, the way to walk in this. And I want to share just what I got shown, first of all, just around territory taking, because I believe we're all here, we're all given a calling. I've talked about that before to the church here. We're given a calling, we're expected to walk in that calling. And when we walk in the calling, you're taking ground. And it might be the square meter around you, might be something in a personal sense. You might be taking ground for a friend, or you're taking territory for the mission field you're on, but you're taking ground. And the Lord showed me in Zechariah 10, and this is going back a while, he showed me, he says in Zechariah 10, verse 4, he says, "From him comes the cornerstone, from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow, from him every ruler together. They shall be like mighty men who tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. They shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be put to shame." And he showed me this process here about territory taking and stepping out in him. And I don't know if anyone's ever had vision of pegs or stakes. You know, when I say stake, a stake in the ground. Yeah. I know you like stakes, Scott, but not. Anyone ever had that sort of vision? You sometimes see a peg or a stake. Now, I know a few people that see that. I've had that quite a bit. And what that is that's the Lord saying, he's talking about this sort of scripture. He's saying that's the stake to take the ground. I want you to take it up and I want you to peg out and start taking ground for me. And I brought one. I just want to go ahead. So this is a stake. and this is what he shows me. This is like going out there and taking the ground, because it's like you've got to physically peg it. He says here, you've got to peg the ground. And he talks about a process here. Now, the interesting thing, I went to find one of these last week in the shop. And I've gone around and I can only find a pack of six. So I had to buy six of these. That got against my accounting grain. But I had to buy six of these. Okay, I bought six of them. But it's funny, a couple of days later, I got the revelation of why I could only find six. And this is a message from me, but he says, look, there's six, because there's 6 days of the week I want you to take a peg and I want you to take ground on 6 days. On the seventh, you rest, you don't take the ground. You rest in me. That was like a really strong revelation for me. But the peg is something we use to take ground. Now, I've got a slight innovation to this peg, because it's a bit more than that. This, excuse the crudeness, but this is the peg again. Yeah. So this is a peg. So it's the same peg, but it's used to take the ground. But what happens when I take the ground? The light comes on. Because I'm walking in the calling and I'm taking ground for the Father, and the light comes on. And what happens when the light comes on? What happens at night when you turn a light on? You see, but you also have the moths. You have everything coming at you. So when you're taking ground and stepping out with the light on, the enemy sees that too. And he says, hey, this person's doing something for the kingdom. I'm not too keen on that. I'm going to come against this because I don't want that. I just thought I had this inclination just to share that. That's where your duct tape went, bless Scott. But so we are to peg the ground out. And I just come back to that verse. It says, from him comes the cornerstone. I've talked about the cornerstone here before. I brought the pavers here, and the pavers are the cornerstone. The cornerstone is Jesus. And I brought those pavers, and I've done a session here before where the Lord has shown me, the Holy Spirit showed me that the ground is taken, the pavers are clear, he swept them off. You've got the foundation here. And then he says, then you take the peg and you move on that foundation that's unmovable, it's rock solid, it's not moving, you're moving, you take the ground. And you take the battle bow. Now, what does he tell us that? Because, hey, you're in a war. You don't go and take territory. You don't see an army go out into a foreign land and take territory or an enemy land without a weapon. And he says, take the battle bow. And then he says, every ruler together. So he's telling us we do it together. You have brothers that you can work with on this. Sometimes you've got individual territory to take, and he normally starts with that. Get your own territory, get your own family territory right first, then you move from there. And then it says, just at the end of that Zechariah 10 chapter, it says in verse 12, it says, "So I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, says the Lord." And I know when I pray in the morning, when I walk up and down, I'm declaring in the Lord the ground what he's given me to take. Because he's given a process and he said to take it. But what I want to highlight today, I just want to do that as a starting point. I want to highlight that we are in a battle. And you go, Paul talks about this all the time. You go to Ephesians 6 verse 12, he says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." This is black and white. This is Paul speaking. Now, Paul took a lot of ground. Who would deny that? He was an apostle, and he moved out and he took ground. But in doing that, he acknowledged he was in a spiritual war. It was a battle. And the Lord has been highlighting to me in the last period, and I think why I'm sharing this today, because I believe he's doing it here too. He's prepared the foundation stone here. He's got you to a place where you're going to start to move forward. But in doing that, you need to acknowledge and be aware that you're in absolute war. This isn't a game that's played out there. But in doing that, he's also given us a way to handle that and to make it easier for us. So he has the victory. We walk in the victory. But we are in a battle, and we need to understand what we can use in that. And it's interesting. I got a word a couple of weeks ago. We're just in Phil, Ruth, Lynette and I were together, and I just got this word that, because I felt like I'd been under, you know, those weeks where you feel like, poof, everything's just coming against you, and you know. And I said, "The Lord, I know this is not me. I know this is something spiritual going on." And his words were to me, and I share these because I think they're for everybody, he says, "As the anointing increases, the right of access of the enemy increases." So the battle intensifies. So as you walk and you start to take ground and you're moving in the calling, you're starting to do that, understand the enemy. You're suddenly that light on the end of that stake. You're there. He knows you're there. He knows you're about the Lord's business. And even if you're not, you feel like, "Well, I'm not taking ground. I don't know what my calling is." You're sitting there and you're praying to the Lord. He doesn't even want you to get beyond that stage, so he's going to attack you there. So these things are just as applicable in that state of mind or that state of position. So I just want to say, let's not kid ourselves. It is a war, and it's talked about all the way through Scripture. So I'm going to go through some of the things that I've been shown in the last year or two of what he's given me to use when I'm in that warfare. So we are, and some of the stuff you know, so I'm going to skip through some of it pretty quickly, but there's certain things I just want to share. I'm not saying I've got the exclusive list here, but these are weapons, I call them, for you to use. Everyone knows about the armour of God. I saw that up on the screen earlier on. And it says, Ephesians 6, 13 to 18, I'm just going to read that. So we just remember, it says, "Therefore take up," and this is following that verse, just pointing out the earlier verse I read, it follows verse 12, which is the fact that it's a spiritual war. He says, "Therefore take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Stand therefore, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." He gives us the armour. Now, I don't know about you, but I get up in the morning and there's two things I do before I even start my time with the Lord. And one of them is a cleansing process and a repentance process. And I'll talk about that because it's one of the weapons we have. The second one is I put on the armour. And I don't just talk, I just don't say, "I put this on." I actually physically put the armour on. I shod my feet, I gird. And the reason I do that is I want to acknowledge in the spirit that I'm doing that, because we're in a spiritual warfare. And he told me, "I want you to do it as an action. I want you to do it." So it's a step of faith that this is what you're wearing. Because how many people go out to a war and, hey, we're in a spiritual war, without their armour on? I mean, it's just the number one thing I do first thing in the morning, before I even get into my full-time prayer and time with the Lord. Because when I'm praying, I want to be praying with the armour on, so I'm ready for that, whatever comes. So I just, look, it's something simple, but I really pray for that. That's something you do. And you do it first thing in the morning. Because I can remember Lynette and Emily just talking to me. They do it as well, but where they've forgotten it in the past. And then that day's been a tough day. And, you know, and I believe it's fundamental to not actually wearing your armour. You say, well, God, I'm going out here to this battleground, but I'm not wearing what the Lord's given me to wear. So that's the first one I talk about is the armour. That is a weapon you have that you've been given to use. And notice there's a sword there. There's a sword. And I believe my sword's back here. It's a sword that we have to use. So it is a weapon. It's like a battle bow. And then verse 18 gives us the actual second weapon we have, which is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So he's telling us there in verse 18, prayer is another one of the weapons we have. That when we're out there taking ground, shining, that prayer, he says, praying with all. So there's no point putting the armour on if I'm not going to pray. And there's time and time again in the Bible, and I'll talk about a couple of those briefly, but where people didn't pray, they just went out. And I'm guilty of this. I'll go into a meeting or a boardroom meeting with clients or a board or whatever, and I'll be halfway through and realise, man, this is not going well, and I realise I actually haven't prayed before I even got in there. And the Lord showed me clearly, if I'm taking ground and he wants me taking ground, I need to pray. Because I'm in the prayer, I'm acknowledging he's sovereign. He's in control. He's doing it. It's not me. It's not what I do in that boardroom. It's what he's doing. So he wants the prayer. And he tells us at the end here, when we use this armour, use prayer. So don't think, well, that's something we can do later. It's something to do before you even get into a circumstance. And then I talk about the next weapon being tongues. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18. And Paul says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. And tongue is a weapon as well. It's a weapon he gives us when we pray in tongues. It's like a cleansing weapon. It's like, I believe when you pray in tongues, the enemy actually can't. You can't handle that. It's like, this is a real weapon we have. And I'll be in situations, and I don't know if you've ever been in that sort of case where there's just nothing you can do because you just can't do anything. So what do? I pray in tongues because that is something I can do. I might have prayed myself out on a topic, but I'll pray in tongues knowing that that's my spiritual man talking to the Lord, and it's supernatural, and it's a direct path we have. And that's why Paul did it all the time, because Paul was in a battle all the time. He was about the Lord's business taking ground. So use the tongue. So that's three I've given you: armour of God, prayer, tongues. Now this next one's one that's really come to me in the last couple of months because it's not something I was very good at. And it's Matthew 5, verses 44. It says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And then I was in Romans yesterday. He took me to Romans 12, verse, and I just noticed in verse 14, it was like he was highlighting this point. He says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. So one of the weapons he has been showing me is to bless my enemies. And that's, and I struggle with that because I'm pretty aggressive when I'm out there taking ground. It was my style was to be quite aggressive. You go back into scripture, and David was conquering. Yeah, he was doing stuff, and people were conquering. They're going and they're saying, you know, get my enemies and see it done, sort of thing. And Lynette and I have joked about that a few times. Yeah, exactly. But then I got this revelation shared with me, and it just became really clear. That's Old Testament. The New Testament is bless my enemies and do not curse them. And that is a hard one for us sometimes. Someone hurts us or someone does something and it's like, you know, you just want to speak it out, you want to say it. But every time you speak it out, that is the sin coming out. And that enables darkness to be present in you. That enables the enemy to have a field day. Because he comes in through that and he gets into your mind. And he just starts building on it because he says, I've got this. So that's why we're told to bless our enemies, not to curse. And it's just so fundamental. And for me, it's probably been one of the biggest revelations in the last couple of months, to the point that, and I'll share this about the circumstances, but something happened last week in my life where I've now got to go for a set of circumstances for the next 2 to 3 years, which is nothing to do with me, but I've got to go for a lot of pain and a set of circumstances to get. I said, Lord, why do I have to do this? Because there's in effect one of my enemies that is going to get blessed out of this. And he said, this isn't about you, son. I want this guy or this person to be repenting before he comes home. So we're going to put you through this. So you're going to bless. And I've had this real anointing to bless and praise this guy no matter what's coming against me. He's really emphasizing that. Now, I know no one else curses or, you know, I laugh at that because that was a weakness of mine, but he's hammered it home, and it is a real weapon we have. If you can get that, it just turns things on its head. Suddenly there's a peace when your enemy is around you. There's a peace that comes with that. The next one I had is 2 Corinthians 10 verses 15. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, sphere which especially includes you. So there's what he's telling us here, there's a limit. And it's like if you're a featherweight boxer, you don't go and get in the ring with a heavyweight boxer. And exactly. And now what he's telling us here is, hey, there's an area appointed for you for the time now. Doesn't mean you don't become a heavyweight at some point, but you are asking to get absolutely flattened, to get knocked over, if you go and step into a territory which is not yours. And it's like, if I come down here and teach because I'm invited by Scott, but if I go somewhere where I'm not invited by the person in control, I'm actually stepping out of the area of appointment the Lord's given me. And this is really important to understand. Because sometimes we say, oh, bang, I'm going to go, this guy's got a problem, I'm going to go fix it. And it's like, I'm going to deliver or whatever. And it was never my position to do it. I wasn't in the position of authority. And the enemy is probably the best lawyer around apart from God. He knows what you're not allowed to do. So the minute you do it, he's like, yes, I'm there, I'm coming against you. Because he doesn't care, remember? He keeps on going and going and going. He doesn't care. He just loves it when you do that. So I think it's really important to understand that area and don't step out of it. Now, how do you understand that? Something the Lord again said to me this week. He said, there was something I really wanted to get in and do. I felt excited about it at some point. And he said, did you feel my anointing was on you for this? And it was like, I had to sit back and think, actually, no, it's just something I wanted to do. And it was like he was telling me, you'll know when you're walking and moving in the calling I've given you, when you're in that area of appointment. And so he lets us know. He pre-warns us. But I raise this one here because Paul's telling us to be aware of the area you're in. And if you might be under constant attack, I'd just say, look at what you're trying to do. Is it an area you should be even near? Is it something you've been given to go into? It doesn't mean you don't get attacked when you step into it. But when you step into it and get attacked and you're in the calling, you're in the appointed area, then you're in his blessing, you're in his cover. It's when you don't. And I just, 2 Kings 14, I think, Amaziah, it talks about in chapter 14, it talks about he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He killed 10,000 Edomites, and he was in victory, if you remember the story. He was in his territory, and he was in his calling, and he was taking the ground. He killed the 10,000, he took that. He then took on Jehoahaz and was given a warning from the Lord through Jehoahaz, but he still carried on. Like he was telling him, don't come and take my territory. You're not supposed to do that. And he stepped out of his territory and he was defeated soundly. And it's just an example of where you step out of where you're supposed to be. Don't do it because you're just going to get hammered. They say he's got no pity. The enemy's got no pity on you in those circumstances. In fact, you walked into it. And the Lord talked to me after I'd read that chapter one morning. He said, it's extremely important that I stay in the territory of the calling of God. I might get excited by what this guy over here has been called. I don't want a part of that action. He says, no, you're in this territory, you're in this calling, stay here. Because it's dangerous for you to be over there. Especially in this case, especially when you felt you've had a victory. Like he'd felt he'd got a victory, he'd taken the ground, he had a victory, he was feeling, yeah, it's like, man, this is good, I'm good. And he went on, and he wasn't called to go on. And he got hammered because he stepped out. You'll know when you're called to go on. Just make sure my watch, I was sitting and having breakfast this morning and I didn't realise my watch had stopped at 9:10. And I got into the car and it said 10 o'clock. Oh, far out, what happened? So I'm just making sure my watch isn't stopping because it could have me for 2 hours talking. The next one is one of my, is this idea of taking it to the Lord. And 2 Kings 19, verses 14 to 16. This is my favourite part of Scripture. This and Hezekiah receives the letter from the hand of the messengers. And this is Sennacherib, who's out there. You guys know the story. He's sort of throwing all the stuff in against these guys on the wall. And they get this letter. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord, and he spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim. You are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. So he comes under immense attack. He's had, in fact, I don't know if you've ever had papers served on you, it's not nice. He comes and he takes this, and what's the first thing he does? He goes and he puts it on the altar before the Lord. That's his first thing he does, and he gives it to the Lord, and he was blessed through that. And I raise it because this is a weapon he gives us. He is there. He's listening to us. He loves you. He wants to be with you all the time. We've heard this morning, draw close to me and draw close to you, James 4:8. He wants that. So here's a choir. He gets this, and the first thing he does is he lays it there and says, I'm giving it to you, Lord. Do this. And for us, that is a really powerful weapon, because how does the enemy come against that? There's no room. There's no legal room around that. He's given his heart. He said, I can't do this. Here it is. And that's like putting down pride. It's putting all yourself down and just saying, Lord, do this for me. So that is a real weapon we have to use. The next one, I haven't got too many of these, but I just want to share these because he gives us these examples to use, and I use them all the time now. The next one is, we've probably all been hammered a bit over this over the years, but is stay out of sin. Ephesians 4, I'm using a lot of Ephesians today because it is about warfare, that chapter. It says, verses 26 to 32, it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labour, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you have been sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamour, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Do you know what sin does? And I mentioned it a bit earlier, and I just really want to emphasise this. We are light. When I hold that stake up and the light's on, we are light in the darkness. But whenever you sin, that enables darkness to appear. And when there is darkness, the enemy has legal rights. He has legal access and he'll take them. He won't hesitate for a second. And the Lord's been hammering on this. Not that we're all sinners, so I can say I'm a sinner. But he's just been showing me, and he's given me really graphic examples of what might be small things. And he's shown that's the implication of what was there. Because he actually gave me and Phil a word. A lot of you guys know Phil. 3 or 4 months ago, he said, you guys are going to get to a point. You're going to dread the possibility of sinning because you're going to understand what it does in the spirit, what it enables the enemy to have access to. And I'm starting to feel that. So it's not a taking away of freedom. There's a liberty in that. because you know the love and what he's trying to do. He loves us. He's trying to show us where not to enable the enemy in. So I just point that out. It's that one of the best things you can do is take it away. But hey, by the way, we are all sinners. He gave us a way to get away from that. And you know, we have the right to, and we're going to have communion after this. That is a cleansing process where our sins that are taken and we're white as snow again. We've got the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. And when I talk about sin, one of the processes he gave me, he says, I want you to cleanse. And sometimes it's cleansing 3 or 4 times a day. Now, what is cleansing to me? Cleanse is when I just pause and I just go through a prayer of just giving my sin away and thanking the Lord that he's gone to the cross. He's paid the price for my sin. And at that point, it's gone. It's forgotten. You know, it's cleansed. But in doing that, I'm suddenly, if you go back to that foundation, I'm suddenly on those pavers again. There's nothing around. I'm cleansed again. So this whole idea of, you know, we do sin, let's try and avoid the sin, but if something's happened, just immediately repent and be cleansed. It is a process to use, and he showed me again and again, use this process, son, because it enables you during the day to get back to me and to be seen, you know, get back clean and shining again. And we're going to do that. That's what communion is. It is a cleansing process. It talks in Psalm 22 about my cup runneth over. You know, you're at the table. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And then it talks about 1 Corinthians 10. Rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. And what he's telling us here is, my cup runneth over. He wants us fully in his spirit. He wants his cup running over. He wants us cleansed. Because then, as it says here, you can't then fellowship with the demonic side. 2 others I'm just going to finish off with quickly. One is, the word is a weapon we have. He tells us in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word I've found is one of the most powerful weapons because he uses it to, when I read it, you know, I love it. In fact, a Bible marathon, he uses the word to point out things in us that need to be cleansed. Therefore, again, by cleansing, by correcting those things, by getting our heart right, the enemy's just taken out of the picture. And the last one I had here was just controlling your tongue. It's like, and he tells us again, Ephesians 4:21, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Our tongue is a spiritual weapon. Control it. Don't let it loose. Don't curse. Bless with it. It's like every time a word comes out, you know, the kingdom of God is not in word, but power. It's the word coming out in power. The tongue. Use it. Control what you say. Don't curse your enemies. Your children, family, whatever. If things annoy you, don't do it. Because you're just giving just a right of access. So those are the things I want to share. I've covered a bit there. What I did is I wanted to just leave you with something that had those weapons and then the verses, so you can go away and look at the verses and understand them. So I got Lynette I wanted a little bookmark. And so I sort of got them put on just the back of a bookmark here for you to take away. But then I said to Lynette, because she does quite a bit of art, I said, can you just draw something on the front of it? So on the front of it, she's drawn like this thing called weapons with a sword. And so this is to take away. But then she showed me, she'd also done one with armour on it, with the same verses, and this one's got a heart on it. And I was like, I wasn't thinking about that, but there's actually a message in that too. We have weapons, there's love, there's two sides to this battle. Let's use both sides. You know, we can go out and be the aggressive macho guy, or we can use the bless your enemy. So the two work together. And then Emily says to me yesterday, she says, what are you teaching on that? And I said, spiritual warfare. She says, you're teaching on that on Valentine's Day. She's shocked. So I think that's part of why the heart's on this one too. So I'm going to leave you with those two. But I think just to summarise, look, you have power. You have the ability to bind the enemy. When you go into a room that you know there's going to be issues, bind the enemy up. You have the authority. When I say that, just pray for the enemy to be bound up in that room when you step into it. Yeah, bless the people. Use these things when you go into it. We as we move and get closer and closer to the Lord, move into the anointing, you can expect the attack to be stronger. But he's not leaving you defenseless. He's not that sort of God. He loves us so much, he's given us the things to use. And I'm seeing as I use those more and more, it's just very quickly and very powerful that territory is being taken. I got the six pegs now, I can work it on every day. But I want you to know that, and I want you to hit these things, because some of you, I really felt in my heart that some of you are really feeling it at the moment. But you're not defenseless. He wants you to use these things. Stand in those things. Stand in him. He loves you. He's not going to leave you there to be hammered. That's not the God we have. So I just want to leave you with that.
I think, you know, we're always willing to just take a little more time when Darren's here. First of all, I just say, the Lord is here, man. How awesome have the kids been today? I tell you, they're just like receiving, you know, and I see a lot of like head nods, like you're tracking with what the Lord is telling you. So make sure you get some of these bookmarks to take it with you, that you can go over those areas. I felt this was a very, very important message for our congregation where we're at right now, because we are letting out the tent pegs. Something I'm going to go into over the next few weeks is this year for us. I think it's the Chinese year of, what is it, the rat or the dog or something? What is it? Monkey. Sorry, my bad. It's like a rat dog. It's like a monkey. Okay. But for Ascend Church, it's the year of the wineskin, where for a long time we've been walking in a vapor where we don't know exactly what we're going to become, but the Lord has been revealing to us that the wineskin is beginning to be shaped. The exciting thing about that is it means that now the Lord can begin to pour in. If the Lord pours in the new wine, is the enemy just going to be like, oh, darn, there's a bunch of people just getting filled up with new wine. Oh, well, I missed that one. Too bad. I mean, is that the enemy's mentality? No, he's going to come at us ravenously. And that's why I felt so important to get Darren and Lynette down here. Speak to us, but then pray for us. Okay, so here's the thing. Right now what we're going to do is we've got communion in the back. This is a cleansing time. There's a lot of us, we've allowed a lot of these things. There's one or two things that Darren spoke on here this morning that hit my heart. They're areas of access that I have left for the enemy. Can anyone say amen to that? Okay, just take it to the Lord. Leave cleansed. Begin to put the process into effect. Because I'll tell you, as the Lord is pouring out, the enemy is going to come against us. The biggest one that Darren shared with me a couple weeks ago was, Scott, you must continually, when we were with him at Pocketty over the holidays, he said, you must continually bind the enemy and command the blessing. Because I was going into meetings this last year with believers, and they were going terribly. And I'm like, what is going on here? You know, these people are believers. And Darren was like, have you bound the enemy and commanded the blessing? And I'm like, no, I haven't. It's really changed the beginning of this year with even meetings I'm having with believers. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to, you're excused now. We got going to have coffee and whatnot next door. We're just going to have some background music. I want you to just take opportunity to grab some communion. Just leave cleansed. Darren and Lynette are going to pray for people. Now, if the line develops or whatever, just go next door, grab a cuppa, and come back. Okay, but don't leave without getting a word. Here's the other thing I'd say. When we were praying for Sarita over there, man, I got this tremendous heat coming out of my hand. And when that happens, I know the Lord's saying that he's doing something. So that's to encourage you, but also to encourage the rest of you, there's a mantle for healing this morning. So if you need that, I got the hot hand, literally. So we're going to get some of the elders around you, and we'll pray for you if you need that. So, you know, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And so you should be blessed in the name of the Lord. So God bless you. Come on up. Get some prayer. Get communion. Get some fellowship. Amen.